Would you turn in your Bibles today to Luke chapter 2? And I want to single out one verse again this morning for the sake of emphasis. We've been preaching from Luke chapter 2, which I suppose we could regard as a classic Christmas text. But we've been pulling nuggets, looking at nuggets in Luke chapter 2. And this morning I want to continue on doing the same thing. And I'm going to have us to look at one verse this morning for the sake of emphasis, verse number 15, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." I'd like to simply this morning borrow the words of that precious old Christmas song that we have had sung, O little town of Bethlehem. I want to address that thought this morning, but let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning we bow before you, thanking you for the significance of this day. We thank you that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We thank you, our Father, for that fullness of time, where the precious Son of God, wrapped in human flesh, was born. We thank you, Father, for the privilege today to be in a service on this day, to enjoy the good music that has redounded to the glory of God, spoken of the joy resulting from Christ's coming. Now, Father, bless the preaching of the word at this hour. We'll thank you and praise you for whatever is accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1867, Philip Brooks wrote the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. There's one statement within that song that says, The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Now, centuries before he had written that song that normally we sing at this time of the year, centuries before, a prophet by the name of Micah was moved with inspiration and wrote, But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I believe this morning that we can truly say that the story of Christmas includes the story of a spatial little town called Bethlehem. I like to spend my few thoughts this morning talking about that. O little town of Bethlehem. This was a spatial little town. Spatial little town. In fact, amazing history is connected to the little town of Bethlehem. The scribes, incidentally, used Micah's prophecy to inform Herod where Christ would be born. But you see, the interesting thing about it is the fact that the scribes, let's give them credit, to a certain point we could say they held prophetic truth, but yet the truth didn't hold them. See, that's the issue. It's just like today, many people can quote Scripture. Many people can reference the Bible. Many people can hold the truth of Scripture. But I'll tell you, it's an altogether different thing when the truth of Scripture holds us. And that was the case. The town of Bethlehem, geographically approximately 5 miles south of Jerusalem. The name itself, as we think of Bethlehem, House of Bread. House of Bread. Another name which was given, the name of Ephrata by Micah, which means a place of fruitfulness. So now connect the thoughts. House of Bread. Place of fruitfulness. Make the connection, which is even a greater connection. Jesus, the bread of life. And oh, I'm glad that He can take a barren life, a barren life, and turn it into something fruitful. I'm glad that when Christ comes in a person's life, He takes a life that is barren and makes it fruitful. Nothing is any more fulfilling, any greater, than the entrance of Jesus Christ into a person's life. We think of Christmas. We think of God becoming man. We think of His coming to this earth. But my friend, the reason why Christ came to this earth was to provide redemption, that He could come into people's lives. Bethlehem, special little town, mentioned the first time in Genesis chapter 35, verses 16 through 20. You read that portion of God's Word, you find that Rachel died in childbirth, named her son Benjamin, Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. Jacob later changes the name to Benjamin, son of my right hand. Son of my right hand. Again, I would remind us of another blessed truth. Jesus, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but yet sits now on the Father's right hand. You see, I believe this morning that nothing in the Bible is out of significance. I believe that everything is timely placed. When we read the Old Testament, even right down to the matter of the significance of names, isn't it a thrilling truth to see Christ throughout Scripture? What a blessing. Man of sorrows, but yet the one who would occupy the right hand of the Father. This spatial little town was spatial in other reasons that I would mention. Spatial little town was the site of the backdrop of a spatial love story involving a Moabite lady by the name of Ruth. This little Moabite maiden, she had discovered many things. She had found love, grace, mercy, acceptance, hope in a family. This took place in a special little town called Bethlehem. By the way, think about the book of Ruth. One could say that Ruth fell into the arms of Providence. She fell into the arms of Boaz, and a wedding would occur. A son was born to Ruth, by the way, by the name of Boaz. Boaz, being Ruth's wife, I meant to say a son was born by the name of Obed. Now, stay with me. A son was born to Obed by the name of Jesse. A son was born to Jesse by the name of David. And I think you know the rest of the story. O little town, O Bethlehem. This spatial little town would witness the anointing of the King David. And later the birth of the King of Kings. Oh, it ought to thrill our hearts to think about that. David, anointed king. And then, my friend, we celebrate the event where the king is born. Thank God Jesus came. I'm glad He came. I'm thrilled that I can stand here this morning and look you in the face and tell you that God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know of any gospel preacher anywhere, but what isn't thrilled to preach the message of Christmas? The birth of Christ. That's why I love to take the whole month of December and preach it every Sunday. Oh, I'm glad He came. Amen. But I'll tell you, God became man. He was indeed wrapped in humanity, but the perfect God, the truly God, became truly man. But the only way that God could redeem fallen man was to become man Himself. He died for the object of His redemption. He became man. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Now, let's carry the thought just a little bit further this morning. This spatial little town knows spatial truth. This spatial little town witnessed the fulfillment of prophecy. This spatial little town was the site of God's wondrous saving plan. Again now, Micah. Out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Listen to me. God had big plans for this little town. The one destined to be the ruler in Israel had to make his earthly debut, so to speak, through the medium of a virgin's womb and without an earthly father. I'll tell you this morning, we know that the blood of Jesus Christ was not tainted with the fallen blood of man. We recognize and we see the value of the fact that he was virgin born. I find it not without significance. And I've already said this, but I'll tell you, I've just got to repeat it. I believe probably the greatest thing that this president has ever done or will ever do, when Jerusalem was officially acknowledged as a capital of Israel.
Amen.
I applaud my president for that. You see, the one destined to be ruler in Israel had to make his earthly debut through the medium of a virgin's womb, as I said, but I find it not without significance that Jerusalem is indeed Israel's capital, for David was anointed king in Bethlehem. The King of Kings was born in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem, of course, the proximity of Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, I think the Hallelujah Chorus of the ages will resonate from the heart of future redeemed Israel one day, when they'll one day proclaim him officially as the ruler of Israel, for he shall reign forever and forever. This one came, this one who was born, will one day reign. He will be on the throne of his father David. This spatial little town was a physical birthplace of an infant who was the Ancient of Days. How can we wrap our minds around that? The infant was the Ancient of Days. The one born physically knew an existence before the little town of Bethlehem even existed. This one born, the Ancient of Days, had walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam. This one born had appeared to Abraham of old. This one born was met by Jacob when he wrestled until the breaking of the day. And Jacob hobbled away saying, I've seen God face to face. This one born appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses removed his shoes off his feet, for he stood in the presence of God. This one born showed up in a fiery furnace when the Hebrew children, and the Hebrew children walked out of the furnace unscathed. This one born in Bethlehem was a fulfillment of typology and the principal person of prophecy. This one born in Bethlehem, he is seen in the Passover lamb. He's seen in the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, and he's seen in the smitten rock. This one born in Bethlehem was destined to die, and his death was, my friend, actually ascribed in graphic prophetic details hundreds of years before he was born in Bethlehem. You read the words of David in Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You read the words of Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah goes on and tells us that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. This one born in the little town of Bethlehem was born to die. Oh yes, I like you. I thank God and I rejoice in this time of the year as I see those nativity scenes. And I can see man's attempt to try to depict the scene of Bethlehem that day. But my friend, always have your connecting dots. Realize this morning that the cradle would lead to the cross. Realize this morning, as the Bible even says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. So my friend factored Calvary in with Bethlehem. He came to die, O little town of Bethlehem. Then this morning, let me say this. This special little town has been honored with a special treasure. A special treasure. The Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Savior of man, the sovereign ruler of the universe, was physically born there. When I think of treasure, I think of the words of Paul. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become or be made rich. Treasure was born there. I'm looking into the faces today of God's people. Of people that know what I'm talking about. Of people that by faith have journeyed to the cross. You've seen your need. You've placed your trust in Christ. And today this is not just simply a holiday. You know the significance. Because you know the one whose birth that we celebrate. Treasure. You know, there's a lot of places upon the face of this earth that are known to contain treasure. For example, I think of Fort Knox. Gold bullion, which used to be stored there. Maybe it still is, I don't know. Particular places, things that are momentous. Things that have great value. But I'll tell you, let me put it as simple as I know how. A child of God has more treasure within their very being than this world with all that it has to offer. Do you realize God invested more in the salvation of one sinner than God has invested in all of creation put together? God invested more. This one born came to die. Why did He die? He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. He would have died if you'd been the only sinner ever living. God spoke. Worlds came into existence. God said, let there be, and it resulted. But when it came to the time of the matter of the plan of redemption, it required His Son. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm saying to all of us this morning, every person saved, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. You are wealthy in Christ. Amen. You mean more to God than all of creation put together. So my friend, never take for granted or just sing the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, routinely, casually, without giving it some thought. That town was a place of prophecy. That town was significant. That town would witness God's presence as the prophets had spoke His coming to this earth. Little town of Bethlehem. I heard a story, I don't know how true it is, but I heard back in 250 AD, Roman war against Persia. The war cost became massive, and the Roman official knew he had to raise taxes in order to help pay for the war costs. Someone told the governor of Rome that the pastor of the church at Rome was rich. And that was all the governor needed to hear. So he sent word to the pastor of the church in Rome, Christian, I want your treasures. The pastor replied, he said, give me 4 days. And I'll have them collected and available. Well, he kept his promise. And when the governor arrives, and there's a pastor, what did the pastor have? He had all of the members of his church together. Had his members. You see, the man's right. The treasure of God is not gold and silver, but the sanctified lives of the saints. The treasure. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that town witnessed treasure in the presence, in the person of God. Treasure. And again, that's what happens when a sinner gets saved. You know, a family picture in a home might be more valuable to a widow than a million-dollar house. Sometimes certain things mean more. But you know, what God would suggest to the Word is the fact that grace is an extremely valuable commodity, because God, the one that made everything, still cares more about one thing, and that's the soul of a sinner. And so, you know, this morning, as we close this service, let me leave this thought with you. I trust and I hope and I pray that every one of you will have the greatest Christmas that you've ever had. 2017, Christmas 2017. I trust it'll be your best. But I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but I've got to tell you that if you do not know the Christ of Christmas, Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the meaning. And everything you get is just about as worthless as those dolls after my brother got a hold of them and ripped the crier out. Those things under your tree, they'll mean a lot. And I hope you have fun. Earthly things really are not that significant. They wear out, they rust, they become cankered, worn, torn, and a lot of times we even forget where they are once we get older. But I'll tell you this, if you come to Jesus Christ as a trembling sinner, knowing you're lost, realizing He paid your sin debt, and take Him at His precious word and place your trust, as I've heard Brother Martin say, where God placed our sin, in the finished work of Christ, you can walk away as a rich person with Christ in your heart. And I'll tell you, that's the joy of all joys. I'm looking into the faces of people growing older, all of us, getting older. While hair isn't turning, gray is turning loose these days. Some of us have a remedy for that, but that's another story. But we can't stop. We can't stop the wheels of progress. We're getting older. But thank God, I'm glad that when that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm glad one day, thank God, we'll have an eternal youth when we see Him face to face. So, no wonder. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Yes, we love those songs, but thank God we love the one that song is all about. Let's bow our heads in prayer.